Night case is why.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel, John Madden for the plaintiff appellant, Lynette Dupree. May it please the court. Well, after a long docket of criminal cases this morning, Your Honors, we're going to ask you to switch gears a little bit and review the
Sorry,
grant.
Maybe too much for my system.
We'll take it slow, Judge. We're going to ask the court to review the grant of summary judgment in favor of the defendants on this denied promotion employment case. The exemplar for the errors that we've asserted on this appeal relate to the district court's position that the comments by the decision maker, Mr. Nunez, that the technical experience required for the position is more likely to be found in men than in women, that in fact the technical experience required for the position precisely is to be found in the white male he selected, Mr. McCoy, rather than the African-American female that was denied the promotion, Ms. Dupree, is no evidence at all in a race discrimination case. Plaintiff respectfully submits that where the decision maker concedes the bias, concedes the propensity to evaluate the candidates on an improper criteria, it is absolutely relevant evidence in a discrimination case. And that evidence needs to be also considered in conjunction and in light of all the other evidence. Everything is contextual in the discrimination cases. And part of the errors that we've alleged is the systematic parsing and singling piecemeal by the district court of all of the bits and pieces of evidence under the direct method. All of these things need to be considered together. When we have the understanding of the implicit bias of Mr. Nunez, then we can bring some more contextual understanding to the rest of the evidence. Careers plateau. We've said that in the brief. Ms. Dupree was a 30-year career person. The first 15 years of her career, she started out in the mailroom. She sought promotion after promotion, achieved promotion after promotion, went back to school, got her BA, got educated, did everything she needed to do to get and advance her career, get further promotions and advance her career until she runs into Mr. Nunez. And then when she meets Mr. Nunez, then there's a 15-year plateau where she doesn't get any more promotions ever after so successfully advancing up the chain. She approaches Mr. Nunez time and time again. What do I need to do to get promoted? He says you need to do A, B, and C, and D. You need to get national exposure. She does that. You need to get local experience. She does that. You need to get technical experience. She does that. But none of this matters to Mr. Nunez. And a great example of that is the TSE supervisory detail that she served on for 6 months. Mr. Nunez admits that this is one of the ways in which the employee can get great technical experience. This is, in fact, the promotion that she's ultimately denied for, the permanent promotion. She serves in this detail. He admitted that this is a detail that will give you technical experience. But then what does he say? Well, but for Lynette Dupree, that doesn't really count. Doesn't count for her. Well, in her 6 months there, I can't really think of anything that she did with some technical experience, so it doesn't really count for her. Time and time again, and we see this, he doesn't recognize her as he does the others in events. For example, the meeting in which he goes around the table and calls out every single person and marks on something exemplary they did, except Lynette Dupree. And then she approaches him after and says, why did you single me out? Why did you leave me out? And he says, first, I couldn't think of anything that you did. And then she mentioned to him that she had done this ADT 2000 program, which she was nationally recognized by other agencies for. And then his excuse for that is, well, you were already recognized for that from other agencies, so I didn't need to do that. This is the context of, and this is why that evidence, where he says he has this implicit bias, is important. It's the lens by which the other evidence comes into context. And it was error for the court to segment that out repeatedly and effectively castrate the evidence in that way. There was one other point I wanted to make that didn't really come out in the briefs. We had raised an issue in the pretextual section, pretext argument section, about the failure to rank and rate these candidates for the position. And the brief was focused on the fact that their explanation wasn't credible because they first said, well, the reason why these positions weren't ranked and rated was because there weren't enough candidates. But then Ms. Maiello admitted that, well, in fact, that decision to rank and rate is made before the vacancy announcement is ever posted. But there's another part to that. What we're submitting to the court is that we don't argue that Nunez had the right to say technical skills are of key importance for this position. What we're saying is that the jury was entitled to disbelieve that because, number one, technical emphasis was never emphasized in the KSAs at all. In fact, budgetary and administrative procedures are more emphasized in the KSAs. And number two, they didn't rank and rate like they normally would. And this is important because in that ranking and rating procedure, Ms. Maiello testified, the ranking and rating is done by HR. So they need to talk to the line and see what's important and what's not. And they're going to categorize, give 6 points to these key components of factors that you have, the KSAs, 3 points for other factors, and 1 point for subordinate factors. If it were true that the technical skill aspect was the key important factor for this employment decision, it would have shown up in the KSAs, and more importantly, it would have shown up in this categorization, but it never does. And so from that, when they deviate from their standard procedures and when they don't actually identify in this categorization procedure, when they don't actually identify that technology is of key importance for this position, the jury's entitled to disbelieve him when he says that it did. And that explains why she wasn't selected for the position. All the bits and pieces in a discrimination case need to work together. There's an old saying, I think it's C.S. Lewis, we castrate, in sort of ghastly simplicity, we castrate and yet bid the geldings be fruitful. We can't have a system where the district court will parcel out and eliminate the relevance of each piece of evidence in isolation when the convincing mosaic is there. You need to put those pieces together, look at them through the proper lens, and you can understand the discrimination that has occurred, and those inferences are properly for the jury. With that, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, counsel. There's a big difference between a reasonable inference and an illogical leap. The best thing Mrs. Dupree has going for her case is some comments that she argues create a convincing mosaic of circumstantial evidence under the direct method of proof. In other words, circumstantial evidence that is so convincing it serves as the functional equivalent of a direct admission of discriminatory intent. But these comments just aren't as compelling or troubling as Mrs. Dupree wants you to think, and they certainly don't support a reasonable inference of discriminatory intent. Appellant keeps arguing that context is crucial, and that you see that again and again in her brief and again here in the argument. But she's presenting the comments that were made in a vacuum. Who said what and when are all relevant to determining whether a reasonable inference can be drawn. Just by means of background, Mrs. Dupree concedes the operations branch demographics were skewed towards males. She estimated that there were 90 employees total, 14 of which were females. And it's undisputed in the evidence that this was considered a technical organization whose bread and butter was fixing problems of a technical nature within the national airspace system.
Now, one of her arguments is in the advertisement, it never indicated that technical skills were more important than administrative skills.
And, Your Honor, to address that, the KSAs in the vacancy announcement, which were a four-page vacancy announcement, the KSAs do reference technical skills. It is true that at no point in that four-page vacancy announcement does it say we're prioritizing technical skills over budgetary skills or HR skills, but it is not true that that vacancy announcement doesn't reference technical skills. The KSAs themselves reference technical skills no less than four times. And management, there is testimony in the record that management prioritized technical skills, and they said as much, and leadership skills. But turning back to, if I could, just the comments that were made in this case, 3 years after Mr. Nunez recommended Mr. McCoy for the position, and the EEO had an administrative hearing regarding Mrs. Dupree's non-selection. And Mr. Nunez was asked the following direct and leading question on cross-examination. The question was, question, in your experience, have you found that, let's go with the issue of gender, that the kind of technical expertise needed for this position is more likely to be found in men than in women? Answer, based on the demographics of our organization, I guess I would tend to agree with that. In order to illustrate the difference between what a reasonable inference from that kind of testimony would be versus an illogical leap, if I know I'm not allowed to ask you guys a question, but if I were to ask you under oath whether, based on your experience, you would tend to agree it's more likely that a white attorney would be arguing a case in front of you than a minority attorney, and you said that you tended to agree with that based on just the racial demographics of the attorneys who are arguing cases in front of you, a reasonable inference that you may be able to draw from that is that perhaps minority attorneys are underrepresented at the appellate level in front of the Seventh Circuit. An illogical leap would be to suggest that just because you have conceded that there is a statistical probability that a white attorney is more likely to appear and argue a case in front of you than a minority attorney, that then when you do have a minority attorney argue in front of you, that you would conclude that they were unqualified to appear in front of you or to discredit their arguments based on their race. That's essentially what plaintiff is arguing in this case, that Mr. Nunez, because he tended to agree with the statistical likelihood that a white male would have the technical expertise than a minority female in an organization that is overwhelmingly skewed towards males, is then also making an admission or revealing some kind of inherent bias that prevented him from selecting her or recommending her 3 years prior. That's simply too much of a stretch, and that is not a reasonable inference. Turning then to plaintiff's case and appellant's case under the indirect method of proof, there's a lot of arguments being made of what is evidence of pretext in this case. And one of the things that they have referenced, and as Your Honor mentioned as well, is the fact that technical skills, they believe, were not adequately referenced, that the idea that management was actually looking for technical skills and leadership skills is actually a pretext for discrimination. Well, to understand that, context is important, and the most important thing, I think, to make clear that perhaps wasn't clear enough in the briefs is the organization of the section at issue. This is the Telecommunications and Spectrum Engineering section. Essentially, they were looking for a supervisor of this one section, and there's two different sides of the house. You have the telecommunications side of the house, which essentially is in charge of contracting and buying telecommunications systems. So that's both administrative telecommunications systems and operational telecommunications systems that help the FAA run. So from the administrative side, they're procuring phone systems for in-between facilities. They're procuring pagers for the technicians out in the field. Operationally, the telecommunications section is also buying and procuring the fiber optic systems, the radar systems, the surveillance systems, everything you need basically to make sure airplanes are flying safely in the sky. Spectrum engineering, the other section of the house, takes care of making sure that those systems are running efficiently and effectively at all times. The main goal of the organization in this section is to make sure that all these telecommunication systems are running so our national airspace is safe, and when they stop running, to fix it immediately. That's the supervisor they were looking for, someone who was going to supervise both sides of the house. And it is undisputed that Mrs. Dupree's experience came from the telecommunication side of the house, which is more in the contracting and purchasing of the actual telecommunications systems at issue. As I've referenced before, the vacancy announcement does reference technical skills multiple times. It references interference, troubleshooting, essentially. It doesn't use the word troubleshooting, but basically checking to make sure there's no interference in those systems. So if you take a look at that, you'll see that is the case. In terms of what management was looking for, they said in the beginning they were looking for technical skills and leadership skills. The vacancy announcement references that. Mr. Nunez made his recommendation memo, he references those same skills. When they selected the person, they told the people who were not selected that they were not selected because of their technical skills and their leadership skills. The testimony has been consistent throughout, and so there's nothing to suggest that that's pretextual or for the jury to hang their hat on anything to suggest that it is. And lastly, I will just, under the indirect method, just say that there's also no evidence that Mr. McCoy was pre-selected for this position. There's been reference to that in the actual brief, although it wasn't really mentioned in argument here. But there's nothing to suggest that. Essentially, this position was opened up to engineers, technicians, and program specialists, and it had exclusively been only for engineers before. After the fact, it was reverted back to an engineering-only position. The evidence is undisputed that that probably happened at the national level, and it's clearly undisputed that that did not happen because management, who was in charge of the decision here, made that call. So with that, unless there are any questions, we ask that this court affirm the district court's opinion.
Thank you. Case will be taken under review. No, I'm sorry. You guys.
2 minutes.
Just a couple of quick points, if I may, Your Honors. Counsel, in her argument, said implies that we're contending that technical skills weren't ever part of the vacancy announcement. That's not what we've contended. What we've contended, they're referenced in there, all right, but so are the budgetary administrative skills. What we're taking issue with is the ex post facto rationalization by Mr. Nunez that technology or technical skills was the primary focus or the most important part of filling this job candidacy. There's no evidence of that other than his after-the-fact statement. And again, if we build in how they've deviated from their standard procedures, they didn't come up with those priorities beforehand, we're entitled to that inference. Counsel says that the statements from Mr. Nunez aren't as compelling as we suggest. If they aren't compelling or as compelling, then I think she's really admitting that there are inferences that can go both ways from those statements. There's an ambiguity in that statement. And under the procedural standpoint in which we were in, summary judgment, we're entitled to that inference. The plaintiff is entitled to that inference. As far as the statistical basis, I really don't understand this argument. And this, I think the words from the district court were that the decision was explicitly informed by the demographics. Effectively, I think what they're saying is as long as you have a good reason for racial motivations or sexist motivations, then you're fine. But that's not what the law is. It doesn't matter. We've talked about motivations in some of these earlier arguments today. The motivation of why you tend to think men have more technical expertise than women, carte blanche, isn't important. It's the fact that you have that discriminatory basis, that inference, and that propensity to make those decisions on that discriminatory basis. Two sides of the House counsel mentioned. Lynette Dupree did both sides of that House, when she did the TSC supervisory appointment. She did both of those. And troubleshooting was never part. When Mr. Nunez explains why she was denied, he says troubleshooting. Troubleshooting was never part of this job assignment. So on behalf of Ms. Dupree, we thank the court's time and attention and ask that the matter be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you both counsel. Case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.